Welcome to the latest episode of Apple at Work. My name is Bradley Chambers. I am your host. This podcast is all about looking at how Apple and the enterprise and K-12 all fit together. This week, we have a special guest, Joel Rennick from Jamf. Joel, how you doing?
Hello, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
So for our listeners that don't know you, can you explain to us kind of what you're best known for?
Sure. So a couple of things over the years, but probably most recently known by a lot of folks for Nomad and Nomad Login, some of the open source projects I've been working on. And then in the last year and a half at Jamf, doing a lot of identity pieces, in particularly Jamf Connect.
Yeah, that's something we talked about on episode one of this show with Greg from Jump Cloud, talked about kind of the past, present, and future of identity in the enterprise. And I brought up a piece of software he had never heard of. Do you remember a piece of software for the Mac back in like the 04 timeframe, 04, 05, called Snerdware?
Snerdware? Oh, no.
Okay,
what,
so
what was that?
This may become our new running joke, is to see if anybody's heard of that other than me. It was this very deep level plugin for the Mac that made it work with Exchange before Apple natively supported it. It was like back in like the Leopard era.
Okay.
Maybe even pre-Leopard, oddly enough. So nobody's ever heard of that. It's like, anyways. So this week, the reason I had you on is we want to talk about passwords and particularly the problem with them, and then talk about the FIDO Alliance and what that group of folks is aiming to do. So tell us about the problem in 2020 with passwords.
Sure. And it's kind of funny, right? Because passwords have been kind of very sorely maligned as of late, in that the bane of help desks everywhere, right? Users can't remember them. They need to change them often. They hate doing that. And that means they get themselves locked out. As you talked about the history and in the previous episodes, you get into Active Directory and binding the Macs into Active Directory, and then passwords explode again, and you've got all these problems. So passwords, you know, they don't mean to be bad. It's just that, you know, humans are human and tend to forget things. And then when we put a lot of kind of unnecessary requirements on them through some of the regulations, like changing them every 90 days and things like that, that they get to become more of a pain. And right, so you then have people that are using the same password with just incrementing the number at the end, or if you impose too much complexity on the password, which makes them more secure, which is great, but then the user tends to forget them. And I think most average people, and we're on a podcast, we can't ask for a show of hands, but I think a lot of people, if they were honest, probably use just a handful of passwords across most of their applications, right? And the problem with there is that if you did get one of those, you know, online accounts compromised, then you would probably have a lot of ramifications into your other accounts that use the same password. So that's kind of the crux of the problem with the passwords, right? Not that passwords are bad, they're good, they protect things, but they're often forgotten, they're often misused, left behind, written on sticky notes, those kinds of things. And so for the last couple of years, there's been a strong trend within the identity space. How can we replace these passwords? How can we do something, right? And if you go back to, you know, what was the first iPhone with Touch ID? That would have been like the 3GS, the 4?
What's it going to say? 5? Maybe with a 4. I don't remember. 4 or 5?
I have a collection of dead iPhones here on my shelf next to me, so I can look through them really quickly. But yes. And we remember how magical that was, right? When you didn't have to punch in that PIN code anymore to get into your phone, and you felt secure. It was biometric. Of course, there was a lot of, you know, noise around, hey, I could make a rubber fingerprint off a high resolution picture of your finger and maybe get into your phone. But it was still better than a password, right? It became much easier. And that's kind of the holy grail of security in general. How can we make the user more secure, but actually increase the user experience of that? So Touch ID was, you know, one of the big ones in the Mac world, in the Apple world around that. And then Face ID, right? Maybe even easier. I don't even have to touch it. I just have to look at it, and I can get in there. And then I don't have to have my password. Of course, under the covers, there is a password, right? There's some sort of, you know, string of characters that defines cryptographic key that can then unlock things. And there's some transformations and some stuff that are used on that. But at the end of the day, you do have a password doing that. So we're mostly just masking, you know, the ease of use for the user to make that more secure but easier to use at the same time. And this is a long way of getting kind of into why we certainly believe that FIDO, Fast Identity Online, and kind of all the associated protocols that go with that are very, very important. Because they add an additional layer or two of security on top of it. And we can get into some of the specifics as we go through this. But at the same time, the goal is very simple. You have either some sort of hardware or software key that you're using, potentially with biometrics, especially if it's an app running on, you know, iOS, for example, that allows you then to have access to very, very complicated cryptographic keys to unlock all of your services, but with a unique key for every service. So that way your, you know, ability to log into Facebook is in no way connected to your ability to sign into Twitter. So if that makes sense. So that's why we're excited about FIDO, is we think it adds a lot more security to it. And if done properly, a lot more ease of use.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because we are certainly getting more passwords over time. Even with things, certainly in enterprise, in the personal world, we have things like signing with Apple that are really, really handy. But and that's been one of my issues with the rise of cloud services. When we come off this period where everything was just hooked into Active Directory, we went into this like sign in, you know, cloud services where it was one thing to have like 80 plus a thing or two things, but all of a sudden you have 80 plus 15 things, and employee onboarding is kind of a nightmare. And there have been things in like education, like Clever and solutions like that, which are nice, but they never cover everything. And so it's almost like we really need to go back to the drawing board on passwords completely, for, you know, how, it's like if we were doing it fresh today with none of our legacy baggage, what would we do?
And that's some of the cool things that we're excited about with the FIDO side, is that how many different, you know, organizations and tech companies have adopted it. Because you're right, you know, you talked about some of those other pieces. You know, there have been password managers in the past. You know, you've got one with iCloud Keychain, you've got a lot of third-party ones that can kind of help manage your password, synchronize them across devices. But they're mostly just using a password, right? There's nothing inherently new to that process. And this is something that Microsoft is, you know, is a member, Google is a member, Apple's now a member. You've got an awful lot of you know, the tech world. And then also a lot of banks, a lot of other consumer groups that are out there that are looking at standardizing on this, because they can all see how crazy this world has been, trying to get some sort of better protocol in the way for doing that. And there's some really, really cool things. You know, back to your problem with, you know, there's goods and bads, right? You have Active Directory, maybe your whole work life is centered around one particular username and password. And that gets you into kind of a single sign-on environment, at least as much as can be done. But it doesn't solve for your personal life, right? How do you sign into all of your online services? And there's a layer of privacy that you want to have in your personal life. And this is where the FIDO protocol is very heavily consumer focused right now. And it's some of the things that, you know, we're having some thoughts on as to how we make this a little more interesting for more of an organized, managed environment. But right now, so, you know, probably what most people think of when they hear of a FIDO key, if they even know what that is one of the YubiKeys, right? Where you've got a hardware device, plugs in over USB, it's got a little disk that you can touch on it. And that device will hold a number of cryptographic keys. So if I use that, if I use my YubiKey to sign into Twitter, a unique key is created on that YubiKey. It's an elliptical curve, 256 bit key, if you care, which is really good cryptography. So that key is created on there, and you use that to sign into Twitter. It's completely anonymous and it's completely random. So when you use that same hardware device to sign into, say, Facebook or something else, a brand new key is created, completely random, has no relationship whatsoever to the previous key. And so an important part of this is keeping it impossible to allow one online service to kind of triangulate that maybe you're signing into another online service at the same time, and, you know, do anything, whether that be for advertising or for privacy invasion or whatever else. The protocol is very, very geared towards ensuring as much anonymity as possible. And for a consumer standpoint, this is great, right? My business on one online service should be entirely unrelated to my business on another online service. And in fact, maybe I have multiple logins to an online service and I need to keep those discrete from each other. So this works out very well. In the enterprise standpoint, you know, large organizations, schools, these kinds of things, this is where there's a little bit of a different twist, where you'd probably prefer to have some sort of relationship between when I sign into, you know, in a K-12 environment, you know, if I'm a faculty, if I sign into my gradebook app, there should be some awareness that maybe that's the same account that I used to sign into Azure, that I used to sign into my email, and I used to sign into some of these other things. And so that's where I think, you know, some work is yet to be done. There's some working groups that have been started up on this as to how to make this, you know, even more exciting for kind of an enterprise in a large institutional environment.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you talk about the personal privacy aspect, and that's something where I think 5-6 years ago, no one cared about. And I think we've kind of swung that pendulum back. And as like beneficial as things like login with Facebook may seem, I think there's a lot of people that are like, I don't know why I want to log into like this service with Facebook. And I'm not a big social media guy. I have a Twitter and LinkedIn account, and I like those. I really, really like LinkedIn, actually. LinkedIn is like, I feel like Microsoft really crushed it by buying that, because it's just like a great, it's like kind of the best of Facebook, and I get to follow companies and things and learn a lot. I really, really learn a lot from LinkedIn, but I've not had a Facebook account in over a decade. And I really just said, I'm kind of done with this. Everybody knowing everything about me. And I think a lot of people are kind of moving that way, where the pendulum is more of, you know, I don't want one single company knowing all these things about me. So it's interesting that like this alliance is kind of starting with that premise of we should be private first.
I mean, there was obviously a strong need on the consumer side for this. And frankly, if it didn't have, you know, I can't speak to the original generation, but at least in my understanding, if it didn't have the consumer backing, it was just going to be another enterprise, you know, solution. And frankly, it was the consumer side that probably needed a lot more help at that time for password policies and password hygiene than it was on the enterprise side, right? Because you had a lot of, you know, consumers. My mom, you know, she's 80. She's not picking 12-digit passwords and randomizing it between all the different services, right? So having something very easy for users to have, but also very secure, was probably going to get the most, you know, impact on the world. So now, but we're seeing a lot of, you know, recently a lot of bigger companies. Microsoft, if you look under the hood in Microsoft Authenticator, there's some FIDO pieces going on there. Google, they're now using FIDO for authentication into your Google accounts. Their apps on Android and now very recently on the Mac will work as a FIDO key there for Chrome. So there's a much more, you know, uptake of this than we were expecting. So that's really great, right? Because then it makes it easy for, you know, a place like us at Jamf to say, hey, if we're going to focus on one of these things, this is a great place.
And before we finish up, let's take a moment to thank our sponsor for this week. Apple at Work is sponsored by Jamf. Jamf, the standard for Apple in the enterprise, extends the legendary Apple experience that people love to businesses, schools, and government organizations through its software and Jamf Nation, which is the largest online community of Apple IT admins in the world. 35,000 customers from more than 100 countries entrust Jamf to help them to succeed with Apple. They have a growing product line with Jamf Pro, Jamf Now, Jamf Connect, Jamf Protect, and Jamf School. So regardless of your needs, they've got a product to fit it. They are in lockstep with Apple on operating system and feature releases, providing same-day support for iOS and macOS and tvOS. Their products are built exclusively for Apple. To learn more, visit jamf.com/9to5Mac. Again, that's jamf.com/9to5Mac. Thanks to Jamf for sponsoring this episode of Apple at Work. It's interesting with looking at the underpinnings of a lot of Google and a lot of Microsoft. And, you know, news broke recently that Apple had joined this FIDO alliance. And I think that's really getting these three major players is important, because it's like with a lot of things, if some of the people do it, then it doesn't matter because not all the people are in it. And so I think this is one of those rare instances when all the major tech companies agree that it's better for their businesses if their users aren't frustrated, and passwords are a clear place where users are frustrated.
Absolutely. And removing that friction from a user to be able to securely log into these, you know, individual services is only going to be a win for everybody, right? No company wants to have password hacks that get out there. I mean, it seems commonplace today, but you would hope that they wouldn't want that. And so it's going to be, you know, easier to you know, use one of the existing protocols, one of the existing standards that users have already adopted, than it is to kind of go it on their own. So yes, that's huge. And exactly why we're also looking at this. You know, we've done a lot of work with some of the other authentication protocols, and these aren't really, they're not exclusive, right? Because you can do FIDO authentication with SAML as far as the authorization. So you can kind of mix and match a lot of these things. But we very much see FIDO gaining a lot of popularity across Microsoft, Okta, a number of the other identity providers, as being a way to provide, you know, a standardized passwordless experience. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, I am too. I think I'm excited for it in the enterprise because I think it's going to help employee onboarding dramatically and employee mm-hmm. frustration go way down, because I get this complaint every day. And then also I deal with regular people, like in my personal life, that, you know, they don't want to use a tool like 1Password or LastPass. They you know, and you think about all the things, how we're already authenticating into our devices. We have a chance to make this easier. Things like Touch ID and Face ID have really, you know, simplified a lot of things. And, you know, as I remember back when, like, laptops came with, like, fingerprint sensors, you know, 10 years ago, gosh, no one used those. They were terrible. They were clunky. They were just, yep. It was garbage. Well, now, like, they actually legitimately work. And then also, like, on the Apple side specifically, Apple's done a good job with their MDM APIs to protect the privacy of that, of the facial recognition and of the Touch ID information, so it doesn't leave the device. It authenticates to the device, but it's not like my employer can suck up my Face ID stuff into their MDM. Right. And so I think, you know, we've kind of – it's really probably the perfect scenario, perfect time for all this to come together, because the technology is there, the connectivity is there, the devices are powerful enough, and then we're also all overloaded with passwords already. I mean, we're all signing up for services every day. And I know in my personal life, like this, when I see that sign in with Apple, I'm like, yeah, I will do that all day long. That is fantastic. And I think, gosh, it is just a good time, because I feel like these are those like high level problems we faced all over there, you know, in the enterprise, in our personal lives for the last 10 years. And we're finally at a place where we're able to tackle those all across the industries.
Completely agreed. And that's, again, why we're very excited about this. The protocol hasn't tried to overreach. It's been very specific to just being kind of focused on authentication. And so that way it can be interwoven. You know, I do fully believe that at some time in the future, we're not Apple. We were not prognosticating what they may do, but that you'll be able to use a FIDO authentication for sign-in with Apple. So that way you won't even have to have a, you know, Apple ID password anymore, but you'd be using some sort of FIDO security key to handle that part of it. And then life becomes even easier, right? Because right now when you sign in with Apple, great. The other service, you know, you've got a lot of anonymity with that, you know, online service or whatever that you're using, but you still have to type a password, right? And then, you know, Apple's had a couple of flavors of multi-factor. So either you've got to use the Apple ID multi-factor, where you then find a device that you, you know, agree on, or you get the text message. There's still a little bit of friction there. And so by doing something along the FIDO side, and the technical term is UAF, Universal Any Factor, where it's not a second factor, but it's all your factors effectively at once. And then passwords are gone, but you still have a very secure kind of environment. So 100% agreed.
Yeah, in our show notes, I will have a link to some resources about the FIDO Alliance if you want to go further. I kind of look at this as an API for authentication. Like, we're trying to build, you know, it's kind of like where it used to be really complicated to take payments online, say 20 years ago. And like now, tools like Stripe and other tools, just like, it's turnkey. Like, this is a solved problem. And I feel like the FIDO Alliance is aimed to kind of be that API for passwords for the future. And I think if 5 years from now, we kind of don't think about passwords as much, that the FIDO Alliance has won.
Completely. And we could put on our propeller beanies and we could talk a lot about UAF versus U2F versus CTAP versus CBOR versus APDUs. There's a complete collection of kind of protocols and things going under the covers. But the real goal here is that web developers, you know, people offering a service, they can just conform to the web authn standard. And they don't care what the FIDO key looks like. They don't care if it's hardware. They don't care if it's software. They don't care about a lot of the complexities of that. They're just kind of asking for signatures back, and should make this stupid simple for a number of other services to adopt this without really truly knowing what FIDO is, what it does, just that it's a secure way of authenticating, and, you know, go from there.
Well, and I think too, what has also changed is, you know, 5 years ago, everybody but wanted to be the FIDO Alliance, like a Google or a Facebook. Everybody yep. wanted to be that centralized kind of place and wanted to be that centralized yep. identity. And then we've realized that if everybody's trying to do that, it's like the old comic that says, hey, we have 13 standards, so we're going to make a universal one. And yes. it's like, now we have 14 standards. And I feel like FIDO is trying to take a step back, and like, everybody that was trying to be the end-all password is now realizing that didn't work. And so, like, let's try to make this interoperable.
Completely.
Well, Joel, thank you for coming on the show today. I will put a link to some of your past work, Joel Janth Connect and with Nomad, and it's really, you've done a lot of great work for the Apple community, so thank you for that. And we'll have links to some of his projects in the show notes. And if you have any questions, leave those in the comments on our website. But again, thank you for everybody for listening. If you haven't subscribed to the show, please do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a review, tell somebody about the show. That helps us grow. Thanks to our sponsor Jant for this week for making this show possible. And Joel, we'll have to have you back on soon to hopefully talk about the continued work of the FIDO Alliance.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for having me. We love talking about these things. So go out there, start playing around with FIDO if you're a Mac admin and interested in this. Pretty easy to get started with a couple of these things. Read the show notes, subscribe to the podcast, and yeah, be looking forward to talking again.